relevance, but may it be seen as something that sparks thoughts in our hearts and our heads, that we may see that we actually need to engage and respond to the truth of your word. And Lord, we thank you that your word is truth. Thank you that you spoke it. Thank you that it is there to change lives. It's a living word because it speaks of the one who is the word of life, Jesus Christ. So we pray that by his spirit we would take on board what you have to say to us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're looking at different people that Jesus met. That's the sort of sermon themes that we're going through at the moment. And today we've come to look at the story of Jesus and Pilate. Now, I don't know what you think about Pilate. I think I'd put him in the same category as some of these sort of people, like Gaddafi or Stalin. People that, if you like, at a whim or a snap of their fingers could put somebody to death. And sadly, as we've seen happen in history, there have been dictators, men usually, powerful men who've chosen to put people's life to an end, almost on a whim. And Pilate had that same sort of authority. And the reason he had that authority was because he was backed by the power of the Roman Empire. So he could almost do what he wanted. Now, what do we know about Pilate? Well, to be honest, I don't know a lot about Pilate. That's the absolute truth. And they've been trying to find out through archaeological digs and stuff about Pilate. This may be something you want to explore for yourself if you're interested. But in 1961, in Caesarea, they found a stone, that is it there, and inscribed on that stone, it says something like this: Pontius Pilate, prefect of Judea, has restored the Tiberium of the seamen. Okay, so there's a bit of archaeological evidence about this guy, Pilate. But to be honest, most people have heard of Pontius Pilate. And I ask myself, why is it that his name is well known? What do we know about him? Well, I've told you we don't know a great deal. Well, I don't know a great deal about him. He's recorded, he's mentioned in various historical books like Tacitus. How many of you have got a copy of Tacitus by your bedside that you read each evening? No, nobody? Frank, you're not into that. No, what about Josephus? No, any takers for Josephus? Well, you see, if you'd read those two historians, you'd probably know a little bit about him. Was he famous because he'd actually dealt with some mercenary, some revolutionary that had come up against the Roman Empire? Is Pilate remembered because he put down a rebellion against the Romans? Well, actually, no. Do you know why he's remembered? It's because he put to death somebody who went around on this earth as a teacher and a healer. I think, why would he put to death this guy who actually went around doing good? Was he a threat to the Romans? Well, actually, he may have been, because Pilate asked Jesus a very key question. Is he the king? Now, it's a strange-looking king, a man who just did good, a man who preached to the crowds, a man who healed lepers, a man who fed the 5,000, a man who had basically nothing. He didn't have wealth, he didn't have an army, he didn't have riches, and yet Pilate asks him, is he a king? Jesus' answer, this is all in that passage that Margaret read to us, was a bit sort of, we might say, ambiguous, really, in a way. He didn't say, yes, I am the king, I'm the king of the Jews, and I tell you what, Pilate, I'm the one that will end up in charge. He didn't say that. He said something slightly strange. He said he came with the purpose to speak about the truth. That's why Jesus came. He came to speak about the truth. That's what he says in that passage. I have to say, it'd be really wonderful if some of our leaders and politicians restricted themselves to just speaking the truth. But that's another matter. Anyway, Jesus speaks the truth, but then he goes on to say something quite strange. He says, "My kingdom does not belong to this world." He's acknowledging in some way that he is a king who speaks the truth, but his kingdom is not of this world. What a strange thing. What do we think of when we think about this world? We probably think about material things by and large. We might think about our homes. Some of us might be thinking about having a nicer home. We might be thinking about a car, having a nice car. You know, we are so caught up in this world that these things are the things that preoccupy us. We might be thinking about, can I get a 75-inch TV in my front room? Or whatever. You know, these are the things that often preoccupy us. We talk about them. Oh, I need a new car. You know, the other one's not up to scratch or whatever. Quality car, that's like mine, by the way. I didn't want to put one anything else because I thought I might be getting that, you see. So I thought I'd put one like mine. Mine don't look quite as smart as that, but it is a Ford Focus, okay? So just a plug for Ford Focuses. All right there, Frank? No, you don't like them. All right. Okay. Now, Jesus is saying, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. We are preoccupied with the things of this world. But actually, they're not what really matters. You see, what is life really about? Ask yourself that question. Is your life about the home you live in? Is that what your life's about? Is it about the car you drive? Even if it is a Ford Focus. Is it about the size and quality of your TV? And you're going to say, no, not really, Bill. It's not really about those things. They do preoccupy me, but it's got to be something more than that. You see, Jesus' kingdom is something very different. Jesus' kingdom is about things that matter. I hope you can see that. I'll read them out anyway. It's about love. What's the most important thing in the world to most of us? I'd say it's to be loved. Actually, that's the key thing. It don't matter at all what car I drive or the size of my TV, but it does matter if I'm loved. That's a basic human need. We have managed without TVs, without cars, up until the last few years. But actually, humankind needs love. It's about relationships. Now, I know so often relationships go wrong, but again, it's actually what we need. We know that. No man is an island. We need one another. We need parents. We need to be part of a family. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, like a nuclear family, mum, dad, children, but we need to be part of a family, like the church. We welcome those little ones into the family of the church. We need relationships. That's how we've been made. That is it. If you say, I don't need a relationship, I'm not talking about a sexual relationship, anything like that. I'm talking about friendship and a deep relationship. Okay, parent, child, brother, sister, friend and friend. Okay, and if you're going to say, I don't need that, I'd say, have a little think about that. Because actually we have been created for relationship. Now I know things go wrong and we'll get onto that in a minute. But relationships, that's what Jesus' kingdom is about. He actually said to his disciples, I don't call you servants any longer, I call you friends. Chose people to be in a relationship with. Spiritual matters. Now, I don't know about you. Probably most of us here will say, we recognise that's important. We know that the things out there, you know, the tangible things, the concrete things, are not all that there is. There's another dimension. There's a spiritual side to this world. We get glimpses of it. Faith. Many of us will have faith because we know somehow there's a God. We know there's somebody that wants a relationship with us through faith. Life after death. That's a question most of us will ask about. Is this life all that there is? Two or three of us went and heard Fiona Castle yesterday, and she was sharing about her husband, Roy Castle. Do all of you know Roy Castle? No, I don't mean you know him, but I mean, have you heard of him? Yeah, yeah. So a general sort of nod, yeah. Those of you nodding like that and gone off to sleep, wake up. Okay. Roy Castle. Roy Castle had cancer, and when he was dying, he was recounting to his wife, telling her about some of what he was seeing. He said he had an amazing vision of God's heaven as a garden. It really is such a vivid reality for him. And, you know, that's what we look forward to. Life after death. Death doesn't have the last word. There is something far more glorious. Roy was a Christian, and he'd been a Christian a long while. His wife had become a Christian later on. So he had confidence. He had faith. He knew about spiritual matters, and he looked forward to life after death and heaven. Just told you about that. Now, is heaven automatic for us? Are we all going to go to heaven when we die? Is it just something that happens, you know, when you get your pension, they give you a ticket for heaven as well as your bus pass? Is that how it works? I don't think so. What happens is that our salvation is gained through what Christ did on the cross. And our response to him. That's where our salvation lies. You're not going to get saved automatically. You're not going to get to heaven automatically. You're not given it with your pension or whatever. You are given the gift of salvation through what Christ did on the cross and your response in repentance and faith. That gives us hope. You know, there's a lot of despair in the world, a lot of difficult things. But as Christians, we have hope of eternity. That's what Jesus' kingdom consists of. That's what it's about. That's why we get excited about it. You know, to be honest, the things of this world are a bit of a pain. Okay, cars. Last week, car gets broken into. Mine, this is. Okay, you think, blooming cars, now I've got to sort out with the insurance, lost my sat-nav. Hassle. Things are a pain. This is what God offers. Love, relationships, heaven, salvation. I think I'd rather go for that. Okay, now let's be real. This is the world we live in. Okay, that's a picture of what happened in Japan. You know, I've been giving you a wonderful picture of heaven, of salvation. But actually, we live in a world where that's going on. Where thousands, millions in our country are out of work. This is the reality of the world we live in. So does God's kingdom have anything to do with that? Or is it, oh, you know, that's sort of, this is church, this is me singing a song, praise God. I go outside, oh, different world, unemployment, accidents, Japan, oh, has that got anything to do with it? Well, of course it has. It's got to have. God's kingdom is not just of the next world. It's actually related to this world as well. But the thing is, when I look at these pictures, when I see the mess the world's in, I've got to say, I don't really understand this. Not totally, I really don't. But I've got to acknowledge that somehow it's not beyond God's overall control and sovereignty. Something is going on here. And I need to look at God's word to see what's going on. And actually, there is a bigger picture. There is more than what we just see. The Bible says that creation groans. And that's a very funny word to use. Creation groans. But that's what I see when I look around me. I see that the whole world is somehow suffering. You can almost say an earthquake is like creation groaning. The Bible clearly tells us these things are going to happen. Now, far be it from me to put my finger and say, hang on a minute, you knew that was an earthquake zone, why have you built a nuclear reactor on it? But that's another point. But, you know, we are warned that these things are going to happen. So many of the disasters are actually man-made. Not all of them. Okay, of course they're not man-made, all of them. But the worst effects of these disasters are often because of mankind's foolishness. But creation groans. The world is out of kilter, if I can put it like that. We know that in our own lives. You know, I said earlier on, one of the best things, most important things, are relationships. But I bet every single one of us is going to say, you know what? I've had some bad relationships. I'm in a difficult relationship. I despair over my child's relationship. Okay, because she is being beaten up by her husband or whatever. You know, relationships go badly wrong, don't they? That's the reality. You see, that's what I look at when I look at our world. I look at a world that's broken. Creation itself, if you like, is broken. Relationships are broken. Look at what's happening on the news. What's happening in Libya? How can that be when Gaddafi is killing his own people? How can it be that these things happen? How can it be within our families that we destroy one another? But that's the world we're in. And actually, I want to say to you that Jesus came to do something about it. It's not his will that we see this brokenness. It's his will to put things back together again. And he starts by doing that, by putting us right with God. That's where it's got to begin. Putting mankind, you and me, back in relationship with God. That's what he came to do. He wants to help us sort our lives out. And he'll do that by pouring his Holy Spirit on us, by enabling us to change. We're not going to do it of ourselves. How many of you have tried to do something like, for example, diet? Okay? Now, some of you probably have wonderfully, you've excelled yourselves. And you went on a diet and you got down to 6 stone 3, whatever it might be. And you thought, this is great. I just love lettuce leaves and prunes. You can't beat it. Okay? So every day since then, that's all you've had. A glass of water, lettuce leaf and a prune. And you've stayed at 6 stone 3 or whatever. It don't work, does it? Most of us, we try these things and we don't succeed. We try to put things right in our strength. It doesn't work. But with God's Spirit, we can change. We can be transformed. Relationships can be transformed. That's what God is in the business of doing. So he wants to restore. That's God's purpose. He looks at a messed up world. He looks at messed up lives. He looks at us and thinks, you're my child, I love you. Come back in relationship with me. We have to make a response to that. We can make all sorts of responses to it. We can say, well, I'm going to have to think about that one day. Or, always knew vicars were rubbish, they go spouting on. Or, you can say, you know what? I do know what's important. It's about a relationship with God. It's about having my sins forgiven. It's about having a fresh start. It's about knowing hope for eternity. And if that's you, then it's important to respond to it. There's a verse in the Bible that says, today is the day of salvation. And I think it means by that, that actually you might not get another chance. You might not. I don't know. I just don't know. You might have another 50 years. But actually it's far better to get things right now with God. I'm not saying that becoming a Christian is going to mean your life is hunky-dory. There are troubles along the way. There really are. There's a cost to being a Christian. But actually, the reward is heaven. It's eternity. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't do better than that. So let me close by just giving us a moment or two of quiet. And then I want you to think about, where is Jesus in your life? Is he king? Can you say Jesus is Lord? Have you given your lives over to him? Some of us need to do that for the first time. Some of us have got a relationship, but actually we've let the world crowd in. And the world is the one that, if you like, dominates what we do. We need to get back and say, Jesus, be my Lord and my King. So I want to lead us in a prayer. I want us to be quiet, and then I'll pray. And I want you to think, is this prayer what I want to say as well? And if it is, to join with me at the end in the Amen. Lord Jesus, you came into the world willing to die for us, to deal with our sins on the cross. Thank you that you have dealt with a barrier that existed between us and God. Thank you that you came to restore us in that most important of relationships. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us where we have sinned, where we've done wrong. Thank you that your blood wipes out, washes away our sin. Thank you that you have made it possible for us to be in relationship with the Father again. And Lord, I pray that those of us that have started walking that road and have perhaps slid off a bit, fallen back, Lord, that we would recommit ourselves to you, that we would give ourselves wholeheartedly and be able to say, yes, Jesus is my Lord, he is my King, and we pray in his name. Amen.